Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
All right, today's Water Baptism Sunday, and we've water baptized people right across all our Perth campuses this weekend. How great is that? 28 people are going to be water baptized come the end of today, which is going to be fantastic, right? Come on, let's give Jesus a big shout of praise for that. We're grateful for that. You know, I've throughout the years, I've witnessed hundreds of people get water baptized. I think come the end of this year, we would have, as a church, baptized about 90 people, which is I think, one of our biggest years ever, which is absolutely fantastic. But I love water baptisms because I think it generally makes me think about my own faith. I mean, when you witness someone publicly declare their identification with the death and resurrection of Jesus and they're attesting to the life-transforming power of Jesus, it does make you think about your own faith, amen? Yeah. Like, it always makes me think about what Jesus means to me and my own personal faith. I don't know about you, but when I think about what he has done for me, I am so glad that Christianity is a faith and not a religion. I'm so grateful that Christianity is a faith and not a religion, that Jesus knew that I didn't need a whole bunch of rules and regulations and laws and stuff and this unrealistic measure that I have to attain to in order to be maybe partially acceptable to God. I'm so glad that he measured down to me, come on, and gave me the greatest gift of all, which is himself. You know, I love that water baptism actually reminds me that you know, I have the right to live this life that I have now, completely free and whole and full of hope and full of joy and done with the past, not because of anything I've done, but because of everything that he's done for me. And that is amazing. And so tonight I want to speak to you out of the next 10, 15 minutes that I've got on the thought, all paid for. All paid for. Three very sweet words right there. All paid for. It actually reminds me of a story that I read out of a Christian publication some years ago of a family that were pastors, they were ministers in Eastern Europe. This was probably about the late 60s, early 70s, and they were their church and obviously their ministry were sponsored by some churches in the U.S. and they had this one main sponsor church that wrote back to them and said, "Hey, we've paid for you to come across to the United States for some furlough," which is like an old word for like long service leave or some time off. They wrote back to this family and said, "We'd love to have you and host you in our church in the U.S. for a month where you can just rest and receive and recuperate, get trained, get resourced, and all of those sorts of things." So they were very excited, and so they planned, you know, for the couple months before the big trip. This family that had been pastoring in Eastern Europe for some years had never been out of the country before, so they're incredibly excited. And so for a couple months, they saved up some spending money. They bought some tins of food and, you know, dry biscuits and things that had a longer shelf life to last them that whole trip to go across to the U.S. It was a big deal, right? This was the late 60s, early 70s. And so, you know, the day came where they got ready and they went to the port and they boarded the ship. It was the biggest thing they'd ever seen. They hadn't seen anything like it. The kids were so excited. And so, you know, the first couple of days of the trip was incredibly exciting. Everything had gone really smoothly. You know, they figured out some rations every day and what they could eat to last them the whole, I think it was like a 10, 11, 12-day journey maybe across into the United States. And so after the first couple of days, the kids in the family noticed that there were also other families in the ship had, most of them had, if not all of them, had made their way up to the top deck to enjoy some of the recreational activities that they had for children, to eat at some of the restaurants there and stuff like that. And so the kids said to their mom and dad, "Mom and Dad, what do you reckon that if we talk to the hospitality manager and see if we could do some casual shifts on board the ship to earn some money so that maybe towards the end of our trip we could go up on the upper deck and enjoy some of the things that they've got up there, eat in some of the restaurants, maybe buy some sweets or some treats from the tuck shops that are up there?" And the dad thought, "What an amazing idea. Let's all do that as a whole family. That was a great idea." And so they talked to the hospitality manager, and for the next week or so, they washed dishes and they turned over linen and all of those sorts of things and earned themselves some extra money. And on the last day, the dad was so proud of the whole family that they worked so hard through this trip that he said to them, "Come on, we're going to get a little bit dressed up. We're going to go to the upper deck. We're going to eat in one of those nice restaurants up there." And so this was a cruise ship. And so they got up there and he got them. There was dad, mom, and the three kids, and they got to, they chose the restaurant. It was a beautiful restaurant. And then when they got in, the head waiter sat them down, and the dad, you know, had they got all the menus from the head waiter, and the dad sat down and had a look at the menu, and there were no prices on the menu. How many of you getting really nervous when you see no prices on anything? Am I the only stingy person in the whole? Come on. How many of you get really nervous when you don't see prices like on price tags and stuff? Like when you walk into a shop and you see something that's got no price tag, you just walk right past it. I don't want to know about that one. Right? So he sits down and it's like six pages of really beautiful food options and no prices on the menu, to which he looked up at the head waiter and said, excuse me, there are no prices on the menu, to which the head waiter said, excuse me, sir, what do you mean? He said, no, can I have the menu where there's prices on it, because we would like to know what we can afford to eat here. And the head waiter said, sir, you're a ticket holding person on the ship. Everything that we have here in this restaurant, we provide breakfast, lunch, and dinner for all our passengers. And you could have eaten here every day in any of our restaurants. Everything on this upper deck has been fully paid for you. Isn't that sometimes how we treat what Jesus has done for us? We think that all that Jesus did for us was die and rise again in order to take us to an eternal life. And we think that we have to earn the right to have an abundant life here on earth. But I want to submit to you today that the greatest gift that Jesus gave was himself. And he fully paid not just for an eternal life for us, but an abundant life right now. Jesus said, I came into humanity not just to save the humanity to an eternal life, to be reconciled and restored with me in eternity, but to an abundant life right here and now on earth. I want to submit to you that everything that Jesus has done for us has been fully paid for. Fully paid for. You don't need to earn it. You don't need to work for it. You don't need to measure up to it. But Jesus measured down to you so we could be lifted up with him, and that everything that he wants for your life right now has already been purchased at the cross. All that we need to do is simply believe in it and say yes to it today. I need a resounding amen. He measured down to me so that I could be lifted up with him. And today, I can live free from anxiety, live free from fear, live free from insecurity, live free from depression, live free from confusion, live free from chaos, live free from the tumultuous emotions in my heart. Not because of anything I've done to earn it, but it's because of everything he's done already for me. And all that he asks of me is to receive this gift. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, and it says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, dead in our sin, in other words, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us, in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. In other words, that not of your own doing. It is the gift of God. Say gift of God. Yes. Not of works. In other words, not of your own hard work. Lest anyone should boast. I love that Jesus describes himself as a gift to us. Do you know that the gift is not something you have to work for? Otherwise, that'll be a wage. Come on. How many of you work for somebody? How many of you work for an organization, a company, the government department? How many of you know if you don't show up for work, you don't get paid? Yeah. Come on, are you out there? Well, a gift is not anything you have to work for, otherwise it'll be a wage. A gift is also not something you have to strive to get, otherwise it wouldn't be a gift, but it'd be a reward. Yeah. Like when you dob a shoplifter in or something like that, when you find someone's lost dog or cat, you get a reward, right? But a gift is not something you have to strive to do in order to get, otherwise it'll be a reward. A gift is also not something you have to compete for, otherwise it wouldn't be a gift, it'll be like a prize or a medal. Thank God, all that Jesus asks from us is to simply receive this gift. And I want to submit to you today that a gift says nothing about the recipient and everything about the giver. And I don't know about you, but I want to live this life not just waiting to get to the destination and trying to scrounge around to kind of make something of this trip while we get there, but I want to live out everything that He's already bought for me. Come on, are you out there? Everything that He's already purchased for me on the cross is mine, not because of anything I've done, lest I should boast and brag about it, but it's because of everything He's done for me. Thank God. It's a gift, and no world religion can offer you this. No world religion can offer you this free gift of the transforming power of a brand new life. An ideology can't give you that. Come on, are you out there? That's why Christianity is a faith, is simply a conviction and a belief that Jesus has done it all for us. And notice how the Bible promises or offers this transformed, raised up life and describes it as the gift of God. Not the gift from God, but the gift of God. It's a key, correct translation. And I believe that the early translators treated that translation very correctly. The gift of God implies that what God gave to us was of Him. It was Himself to us. Come on, are you out there? It wasn't something that He created. It wasn't something that He manufactured. He literally gave of Himself to us. What a beautiful, precious gift. To be honest, this is where that whole idea of gift giving at Christmas actually comes from. And I reckon over time, people have taken this original power of this gift of God, which is Jesus Christ Himself being God, and I think we've diluted it, particularly at Christmas time, and then we actually forget that it actually has powerful, life-changing origins. Come on, are you out there? We dilute it by simply giving material gifts that are placed under a tree without really considering this beautiful gift of God in Jesus Christ. Now, our family loves gifts. We're absolutely going to have gifts under a tree this Christmas and all of that, but I want to submit to you that the greatest gift of all will never be found wrapped up under a tree because it came already nailed to a tree. And everyone that's going to be water baptized today, everyone that's been water baptized throughout the year here at Nations Church are simply attesting to the fact that they've received this gift and it's radically changed their life. They're not attesting to an ideology that they really like. They're not attesting to maybe they've attained to some level of acceptance to some distant deity. They're simply coming through the waters of baptism to attest to the fact that Jesus is real and I've received that gift and He's so radically changed my life and I'm no longer the same. Because I tell you what, I tell you why this gift of God is so powerful. Because Jesus knew that ultimately humanity didn't need someone to change our circumstance, but we needed a Savior to change our hearts. Yeah. Jesus knew ultimately that what humanity needed wasn't a better idea. It wasn't a better argument. It wasn't a better article on Facebook. It wasn't a better book to read. What Jesus knew that humanity needed was to receive God Himself into our lives. Come on, are you out there? Look, I know that many of you love your gifts. Some of you, your love language is gifts. Yep, a handful of you. I love gifts too. But I want to submit to you today that even in the lead up to Christmas, why don't you consider that the greatest gift of all will never be found under a tree because it already came to you nailed to a tree. I need a resounding amen from you. I love that the gift of Jesus just levels it all off for us. Every single person, the gift of Jesus just pretty much puts us all in the same boat at levels. Whether tonight you're here at church and you feel like you're the vilest of sinners, or whether you're here tonight and you think that you're the most practiced of saints, I can tell you now what Jesus did for us and the gift that He offers us puts us all on a level playing field. Come on, because all of humanity, I love this passage in 2 Corinthians 5. It actually says this in verse 14 out of the Message Bible. Paul writes, "Our firm decision is to work from this focused center." This is the foundation. Paul says, "One man, being Jesus, died for everyone, and that puts everyone in the same boat." How many of you know that we're all boat people? Come on. We're all boat people. He included everyone in his death so that everyone could also be included in his life, a resurrection life, a far better life than people ever lived on their own. So powerful. It transcends whether the fact that you think you're wealthy and well-read and well-educated and well-dressed, or whether you think you're poor, you got raised in the wrong end of town. It transcends the fact that you're red, yellow, black, white, purple, blue, green, whatever color you think you are. The gift of Jesus transcends the difference and the diversity of humanity, and he offers this gift, and all that humanity needs to do is simply say yes to receive it. Wow, that's why we call it the good news. No other world religion offers you this good news. In fact, so much of what is out there offers you nothing but bad news. They tell you that you're terrible and you need to measure up, and you need to wear certain types of clothing and say certain things and bow to certain things a few times a day and all of that in order to maybe be accepted. Ideologies try and explain away our existence and maybe try and make sense of why we even live and breathe and have a heart that beats and why we naturally just love our children when they're born and try and make sense of the human condition. Only Jesus. Only the Christian faith, through the good news and asking you to open up your heart to what he's offering, is not something that you can understand or even anything that I can explain away. It is something that I can simply invite you to take a step of faith, to accept and believe today and experience yourself. And today we're going to witness our last five people for the day here at Nations Church that are going to be water baptized. They are going to be attesting to the fact that Jesus has radically changed their lives, that they've received this beautiful gift. And that, you know, when a person receives this gift of Jesus, literally, I reckon a life-transforming power just gets activated in us. It's like almost I can't even explain it in words, because you have to experience that yourself. How many of you have experienced Jesus changing your life? It's like the eyes of your soul get awakened. And like you become a new person. That's why the Bible actually calls it being born again. It's like the old person is dead and then you become a new person. The way that the Bible describes it is that you become unrecognizable. It's a little bit like how you see a caterpillar changing to a butterfly. And if science never told it to you, you would have never equated the butterfly to once being a caterpillar. You would go, what? You used to be that? I reckon when you talk about the life-transforming power of Jesus, it is literally this amazing experience of being changed from what you were to who Jesus died for you to be. Unrecognizable. 2 Corinthians 5 says this in verse 16, now we look inside, because, you know, up until now we're looking for outside circumstances to change for us, but now we look inside. And what we see is that anyone united or in relationship with the Messiah, being Jesus, gets a fresh start, is created new. The old life is gone, and a new life burgeons or begins. For those of you that love Jesus in this place, how many of you are so glad that that old person is gone? That old person is dead? Debbie Ellis says, you're so glad that old Debbie Ellis is gone. Come on, never to return again. Joe Moyer, I bet you're so glad that old Joe Moyer is gone. Roland Murphy, I bet you're so glad that the old Roland. My wife, we celebrate our 18th anniversary today. And she keeps telling me that she's glad that she's married to the new Kenley, not the old one. Because I don't know if we'd ever make it to 18 years if she was still married to the old Kenley. I'm so glad that the old me is dead. Come on, are you out there? How many of you are so glad that the old you, that the person that you are right now is unrecognizable? Here is how it should work when the transforming power of when you receive this gift, not through anything that you've done. Someone should be able to look at a Laura Gray and say, Laura, what's going on? You are not the same person that I knew 10 years ago. Someone should look at a Claire Aisthorpe and say, Claire, what has gone on? You are not the same person that I knew 10 years ago. We ought to be able to attest simply by saying yes to receiving this wonderful gift of Jesus. No other world religion offers you this. Wow. Thank God that Christianity is a faith. Thank God it's not an ideology. Thank God it's not some phrase or some catch cry. Thank God it's not like some sporting code that we kind of cheer for. Thank God that it is God himself, the gift of God, being unpacked in our lives daily. Someone needs to say a resounding amen. Everyone that's going to be water baptized tonight, It's so powerful because we're going to be witnessing their willing identification, firstly, with the death and the resurrection of Jesus. In other words, they are identifying with their old life passing away and their new life beginning. It's amazing. When someone gets water baptized, we're actually witnessing the moment where they're saying, "I, that person is gone, and the new person that Jesus made me to be is here." The other thing that we're witnessing them as they come through the waters of baptism is simply this, that they are actually renouncing the person that they used to be. We call that in our Bible language, repentance. Repentance means metanoia in the Greek, meaning to meta, change your nous, your noia, your thinking. So every person that comes through the waters of baptism, they're simply saying, I am renouncing the old way that I used to think, the old way where I used to be fearful, the old way where I used to be insecure, the old way where I used to be selfish. I'm renouncing that, and I am living this new life because of what Jesus did for me. It's a really powerful moment, really powerful moment. When someone goes through the waters of baptism, all that they're simply saying is this, I'm not where I want to be, but I'm not who I used to be. And I'm going to get on the journey with Jesus. And I have decided to follow him. And every day from this day forward is a new life where I'm going to keep walking forward. You know what else I love about this beautiful gift as I bring this to a landing? The Bible describes Jesus as the gift of God. Gift meaning that someone gave it to you and it's free. But this is what you need to know. And even in the lead up to Christmas, remember this, that just because it's free, it didn't come cheap. Sometimes we equate free with cheap. Free with worthless. The only reason why people give out free stuff is because it's not worth anything. That's how we think. But you need to understand that just because the gift was free, it didn't come cheap. It cost heaven, heaven's best. Come on, are you out there? And the beauty of what we're about to witness today is that this gift cost heaven, heaven's best, that God gave of himself so that our lives can be changed. God gave of himself so that every single person here who said yes to Jesus can get on the ship and go straight up to the upper deck and live this abundant life that he's already fully paid for you. You don't have to contend with sickness and just accept that that's part of your life. You don't have to contend with depression and just accept that that's part of your life and maybe wait till you die and then things are going to get better. You don't have to contend just to get by eating the tin food of life, but God has already paid it for you. So live this abundant life. Thank God for this free gift.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.